Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitator and coach Betsy McLaughlin as she delves into different areas of your life to get unstuck and create the life that is truly possible for you. Betsy has changed her life by utilizing the tools and techniques she is sharing with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time zone you're in, whatever time of day that you are listening to this call. I am your host, Betsy McLaughlin. And I'm super excited today. Oh, my gosh, you guys, like, my whole body's buzzing with excitement and joy. How did I get so lucky to play with such amazing people? It literally, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't go back to sleep. Just so grateful for the magical people that I have been fortunate enough to know and to meet and to play with. And one of these magical, magical people is coming back on the show. We had such a fast and fun conversation recently, which you guys, if you haven't heard, you'll need to go listen to the replay in the archives with my guest, April Armstrong. So first and foremost, welcome back to the show, April.
Thank you so much, Betsy. It is such a pleasure to be back on your show. And again, just huge gratitude to you for your show. It's speaking to so many of us, myself included, just in whatever little corners of our lives we might find ourselves in, or under the covers of our bed, cozying in, or, you know, in the car, sitting in traffic. You're just such a gift in the world, Betsy.
Thank you. You know, I really appreciate that. And I would like to take this opportunity to please let you guys know that, as always, send me an email, send me a private message on Facebook. Like, let me know what you would like me to talk about, or if you have somebody you think would be a great guest that has a lot of amazing things to contribute, please let me know. I would love to, because this show is for you guys. And without you, I wouldn't have a show. So it's definitely, you know, because you don't have face-to-face interaction, you know, it's a little different. So please let me know what you would like, you know, subjects, guests, et cetera. Like, you love the show, you hated something, like, let me know. So thank you so much for that kind feedback. I've received a couple of emails, you know, lately. And it's such a joy to read them and, you know, like, thanking people to take time out of their day to reach out and let me know, you know, like, that something impacted them or that they're grateful for a certain guest. And I've gotten several emails about, you know, when you came on the show, April. So it's always just so much fun to read. And again, thank you so much for taking time. April is a very busy executive. She's got her own business, Aha Insight. And so she does so many really inspiring things. So we're going to talk even more today about navigating your career and how do you find joy and how do you custom create your career? And what do you do when you're not feeling it? Like, when you're not feeling joyful, when you, like you said earlier, you want to put your head over the blanket and not get out of bed, or maybe you're not happy with a coworker or the job you're doing or your boss. Like, what do you do in situations like that? So April has really had an amazing career. She's never actually applied for a job that she's had in her whole career. And she's moved from the, you know, the lower part of the ladder to corporate officer and now owning her own company. So she knows how to lay the foundation for a future business and something, you know, like that maybe she even had an idea of before she created a full-time demanding, you know, as herself entrepreneur. And, you know, so stepping into that full-time, I'd love to talk a little bit about that and how do you navigate all of this? So that is kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And April is, she's such a joy to be with in person on the phone. And I was so fortunate to meet her through one of the classes. I don't even remember exactly where we met, but one of the classes with the Access Consciousness body of work that we both play in. And like I said, I've met so many inspiring and amazing people through my journey to get me to where I am today, which has certainly been quite a journey. And as I know for many people, you know, you've had a lot of bumps and bruises and bobbles along the way. So April, before we start, and because I know the next thing we know, it's going to be the end of the show. If people are wanting to find you and have more conversations with you, would you please let them know how they can find you?
Well, they can find me on social media. I have a Facebook page, I think just April Armstrong, and also on LinkedIn. Those are probably the two main places that I am. I'm extremely infrequently on Instagram and Twitter as well. And certainly my website, aprilarmstrong.live, and there's like a contact form, I think, on there. So
nice.
Someone can sign up for a mailing list. Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. And you know, you're a consultant and you go into a lot of private companies and do consulting work. So would you tell people just a little bit about the type of consulting work that you do that you're allowed to share on air?
Certainly. I spent 20 years with a company that was at the time the nation's largest employee-owned company, and it became a Fortune 500 company. And that company is really where I like to say, like, I cut my teeth as an entrepreneur. I feel like they really raised me actually as an adult, kind of, because I'd never had a role model in my life for what business looked like, and certainly having one's own business. But, you know, I'd never seen that before. So I'm really, really grateful for that. But that company specialized in working on what they called problems of national significance. And so through that, you know, specialty area of the company, I was able to actually, before I knew it, I was developing my own kind of specialization around transformational change. Organizations either leading that kind of change in the world or undergoing it themselves because they merged, they got acquired, they actually, in the case of this company, they eventually separated into two companies, for example. So those are fairly massive changes. And you know, over the course of my career with them, I developed a sort of an expertise in what I now loosely call the people side of change, because so often there's so much attention going to the restructuring of the company or attention going to all the sort of the policies or the technology aspects of the changes, and very little or not enough attention going, at least from my interesting point of view, to the people side of those changes. So so my company specializes in that now, and we, you know, the specific kinds of services we bring, and again, you know, my main business is in corporate and government sectors, and we bring executive coaching in, we bring consensus building work in, because so often, you know, you can't do it alone. You require a long-term sustained partnership with others, a generative partnership with others to really make that kind of lasting change in the world. So we do a lot of consensus building, facilitation work, and strategic communication work to sort of support that, you know, the perceptions and the key messages and things like that over time.
I really applaud you that you're focusing on the people part of it. You know, there's so many companies that they're so focused on either the bottom line or what the end result of the project is, you know, we can, and we can all do this, that we forget that there are people involved in every part of what's going on. And, you know, we have, we all have our own individual needs, desires, things that make us tick, things that we might have, something that we require assistance with, some places where we don't know and we need training, you know, so there's so many different parts to what creates ease in the workplace, what creates joy, what creates even more productivity. And, you know, when you're happy with your job and your work, you're way more inclined to actually go to work, have a productive day, and versus dragging your butt to work, being miserable, looking for every reason to take a long lunch, to be on the phone a lot, talking to a friend, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so, like, what can we all do, no matter what it is that we do, that we can do in our own lives to actually create and foster as much ease and joy as possible for whatever we're doing every day. So I love that you actually go in and you're talking to corporations about these things that are, to me, so crucial. And without them, you really don't have, you know, like the whole base of what you're trying to create can disintegrate very quickly.
Oh, beautifully, beautifully said, Betsy, beautifully said. And, you know, I would love to even sort of tackle that question from two perspectives. One is, if you're in a supervisory or managerial or even executive position, I would, first of all, just right out of the chute, I'd like to invite you to, you know, walk in every single day and look at everyone and, you know, that you're encountering and everyone sort of on your team, and just look at them with eyes of wonderment. And as though you've never seen them before. And, you know, what are the infinite possibilities here with these people? What is the intrinsic brilliance and richness inside of each of these people that I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of? That's something that I'm continually reminded of. I'm blissfully not in a managerial position at this point, you know, in my company, and that's been frankly wonderful, but I have a real heart for people that are in those, you know, types of positions. But I will say I do so much facilitation work with corporate organizations and government organizations, and I'm constantly surprised in just the most magnificent ways, Betsy. And I have to watch myself even, because I can even find myself coming into conclusion about what a person's like, or, you know, who a person is, or this person always shows up this way, so to speak. And the next thing you know, I discover that this person is actually a master winemaker, or this person is a master wood carver. I'm like, what? Like, there's this whole universe to this person that I nearly, very nearly completely shut myself off from, because I had concluded that so-and-so is, you know, just, you know, shows up and does the minimum or whatever, you know. It's like, so just be really, really alert when you're in that kind of a position to not fall into that trap, because you're just missing the magnificence and the magic. It's like watching, it's like walking past, you know, a treasure trove, you know, like a pirate's booty or something like that. You know, you're just walking right past it, you know, and you would never do that. So why would you just walk past another human being and not be open to, nobody is as they seem on the surface. And so being, you know, always being open to that. And then the flip side of that is, if you're just, you know, there you are showing up at work, right? You know, whoever you are, wherever you are. And you said that I started my career on the, you know, one of the lower rungs of the ladder. I have to be really clear, Betsy. I started at the bottom. I wasn't even on the ladder. I was in the basement, on the bottom of the basement. And, you know, had to take some stairs up before I could even get to a ladder. And, you know, and so I think part of my passion for this people side of change and this fervent, you know, belief in the possibility of people is because of who I knew myself to be 25 years ago. And I saw how overlooked I was, you know, by so many people. Yeah. And when there I was at the bottom of the ladder, and I knew, I mean, I had this just niggling feeling inside of me, I'm capable of so much more. What else am I capable of? And what would it take for others to see, you know, all the possibility that I am? And more importantly, what would it take for me to see all the possibility that I am? And so walking in the door every day with that question, you know, I think is can be sometimes even just that 1% crack in the door that any one of us needs, even when we're feeling really hopeless, even when we feel like there's no upward mobility, you know, in the plate, or maybe you don't have a job right now and you're feeling really, really discouraged. You know, stay in that question of what would it take for even me to see all the possibility and brilliance of me? Because that is a first step that can help you take that next step into, you know, that next step in your life.
Wow. This conversation has me so lit up, and I am so grateful for it. And you just said so many beautiful and gorgeous things that acknowledging the magnificence of people. And you're so right that, you know, we really barely scratch the surface of knowing somebody or knowing their capacities and capabilities. And even for ourselves, what else are we capable of that we might not even be asking about? So these questions that you go in every day asking, as I talk, if you guys listen to the show at all, you know that there's so many questions that are shared on each and every show, and that questions empower you. And we're not, and you don't have to know the answer, which is one of the most beautiful things in my world about questions. You don't have to have the answer, and you just ask the question, and you let the universe show you. And I know for me, like, I get so many delightful responses to my questions, and they come in very differently from what I think they're going to come in at. And what about for you, April, when you ask these questions?
Oh, absolutely. You have to be, you really have to allow yourself to be just like delightfully surprised, you know, and and just, you know, really, really, really like that total openness and staying open to, and maybe we'll have to talk after the break, you know, in more detail about this, but, you know, you use the term joy of business, and there's the brilliant book by Simone Millicis on joy of business. Let's talk after the break, because you're a new joy of business facilitator.
I am. So stay tuned, you guys, to Imperfect Joyous with my conversation today with April Armstrong. We'll be back soon.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, 'How do I know what deeper questions to ask?' And the teacher replies, 'When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed.'" Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to level 2 answers, Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I liked kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
guys are listening to Betsy McLaughlin, your host, and guest today, April Armstrong. We are talking about truly the joy of creating whatever your business is and wherever your role is in that. And so right before the break, we started to talk a little bit more about how do you create that for yourself? And one of the questions I wanted to ask you, April, was you talked that you were not even at the bottom of a rung. You were in the basement. You were lower than lower. You had to wait for the ladder to be pulled down to you. So what did you do when you felt like nobody was listening to you and you felt like you were at the bottom of the rung? So what did you do to keep yourself going, to keep yourself joyful and happy and all the things that we've talked about that are, you know, so in my point of view, like, they're so important for you to have as much joy in your day. Like, what did you do to keep that going for yourself?
I think that's a great question, Betsy, because I think the hard, you know, I love the concept of joy of business, and I feel like the most important places to talk about it are actually the places and spaces where we're not feeling it at all. And so thank you for coming in with your candle into what may be a really dark room for some people listening. And awesome. I'm going to bring my candle, and we're going to make this space a brighter place, hopefully.
Yay.
For those people. I think that, you know, so first of all, I would say it, you know, reminding yourself, and I, you know, did this for myself even early on. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing about it was really feeling like I wasn't seen. I think one of the most important things is realizing that you're truly what if you were the author and the narrator of the story of your life? And so what if wherever you are right now is, you know, wherever we are sort of in this movie of your life, you know, it's a space where there's raw material for you to create, you know, a story, a narrative, you know, that you get to decide how that narrative goes, you know, of your life. And so for me, there I was literally, you know, stapling packets, making coffee. You know, I was the assistant to an assistant to somebody else in the company, and definitely feeling like, oh, you know, gosh, I feel like I'm, you know, this is not where I thought I'd be starting my career. You know, and I was fortunate to go to college and all of this. And I thought, gosh, I'm going to be starting someplace else. You know, all my friends had these great jobs in business, but I didn't, you know, and so, you know, basically like reminding myself of that, like, well, what would it take? What if this was just almost like an artist studio or a sandbox, or, you know, make it whatever you know, if you're someone who loves to cook, pretend it's your kitchen. But what would it take for me to turn all of what I have at my disposal here into the raw materials for me to start to create, you know, my brand? Who am I? My personal brand. What am I going to be known for? Well, in the nation's largest research and development company, I certainly wasn't going to be known as someone who didn't have a technical background, as their most brilliant scientist or their most brilliant engineer. I was not going to be known for that. I didn't have that going for me. But what could I be known for? I could be known for the person being willing to go the extra mile. I could be known for the person who was 100% reliable. I could be known for the person who invested myself to make sure that, you know, sort of everything I did was done to the best of my abilities. And you know what? It might sound like nothing to prepare and staple, you know, those packets for that big meeting. But when that big meeting happens and the packets that I created don't have a blank page on the backside, missing a page, you know, because I took the time to do some quality assurance on that and check every packet by hand, which I did before I turned it in, you know, then over time, I was starting to get noticed as someone who, wow, you can rely on April. She will make sure her work is always, you know, is done right. You know, I could be the person that didn't complain, you know, so everyone else is, you know, maybe doing things with like that lackadaisical or kind of attitude of mediocrity, like, sorry, you're not paying me to do that. But I made a choice that, you know what, I'm going to be the person that I'm pleasant to work with. I'm fun to work with. And I'm not doing that because I'm not doing that because I feel like I have to do that to keep my job or whatever. I'm doing that because that's who I want to be in the world. I'm choosing to create that story, you know, for myself. And so that is,
wow.
That is just one, like, just very pragmatic right out of the chute. I could have chosen to be miserable. I could have chosen to feel entitled and that I deserved more. And when were they going to see that? You know, I'm going to stick it to the man, right? Or
wow.
I could say, gosh, I have a job, and B, what are the infinite possibilities here for me to show them who I am with what is available to me? And those were the things that were available to me right out of the chute. And I suspect they're available, you know, to everyone in our listening audience.
Wow. April, I am so glad that you brought this piece into it, because there's so many times that we start to focus on the things we don't like. We do this with ourselves. We do it with other people in our lives. We do it with maybe where we're living, you know, and we can tend to find something we don't like, and then that becomes our focus and becomes greater and greater and greater. And so you could have chosen to have the point of view that, you know, this is a low-paying job. This is way beneath my capacities. So I'm just going to kind of, I'm going to go in and I'm going to put in my time and leave. You didn't
yep.
choose that. You chose to, like, you know what? I'm going to be the best I can be. I'm going to go in with an attitude of gratitude, and I'm going to be the best darn stapler there is, right? And,
yes.
And so having that point of view, you absolutely would get noticed, because how many people go in there, no matter what their position is, where they actually have that point of view. And I can think of many occasions where I did not have that point of view. And when I was in the space in my life where I was miserable in my job, I didn't want to be there. I literally would wake up in the morning, some mornings, and be like, can I call in sick today? When was the last time I called in sick? What did I tell them? Like, I would go through this litany and like, oh God, I can't. I was sick last week, you know, whether it was a legitimate illness or it was a mental, you know, like I need a mental day or whatever it was. And to be, you know, and literally feeling like I was dragging my butt to work every day. So when I was going in with that kind of a point of view and attitude, you know, can you imagine how long my days were? What, you know, what, yes, I got my work done, but did I go in with that attitude of I'm going to be the best darn, you know, whatever it was that I was doing at the time? No, I didn't have that. So I'm so grateful for this conversation to remind us all, you know, where could we even choose greater for that if we choose to, you know, and what did that actually contribute to? So yes, you got noticed and you got, like, people knew that they could count on you, which in, you know, I've been an employee, I've had my own businesses as well. And I know when you know that you can count on somebody, that is priceless, really.
It is.
You
That's
know,
right.
So you did that. You created that for yourself. And then I bet you started, you know, that ladder actually got put out to you, didn't it?
It did. And I want to say just really quickly on this, I want to say,
yeah.
and certainly for anyone in our listening audience, and I actually have several people in my own circle who are going through some really difficult times right now. It's tough with the holidays and stuff. If you're either in a job you're really unhappy in, or you don't have a job, you know, and so, you know, you're not wrong. You in the audience, you
no.
know, you're not wrong if you're feeling what Betsy was just describing, you know, and you're not wrong if you feel like, gosh, what, you know, I just don't even know if I can make it through the day, right? That is an understandable and normal, you know, feeling when you're going through a hard time. I think that hopelessness, though, you know, we should all be really on alert to this, though, because when the hopelessness starts to seep into us, it's a signal that some part of us has decided that we have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we're starting to feel kind of trapped or stuck, and you know, and And it's like the beginning of a slow death, kind of, right? Like there's just no hope, right? And so I think, you know, this one thing of just the flicker of possibility that, well, wait a second, what if there was, it wasn't about anybody outside of us. What is one thing I can do to make a different choice tomorrow? And making a different choice tomorrow or this morning or whatever, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you go out tomorrow and you get another job. I mean, maybe that will happen for you, but it might mean, how am I, what different choices can I make about how I'm even showing up in my workplace, even right now, even in the job that I'm really miserable in, even, and I know that I don't want in the long term. But just, you know, making that clear choice and the willingness to do that. I mean, even if it's as simple as writing down in your car before you walk in, trudge into the building that you might be working in, just literally stopping to say, what can I be? I know there's a whole lot that I'm really unhappy about. And if it's helpful and cathartic, then make a big list of all the things you're unhappy about. Get it out of the system. Let yourself be heard by you. And then make another list. What can I be grateful for about this job? And I don't care if there's even one thing on that list. I promise you there will be one thing, even if it's just the paycheck right now.
Right. I know. Right.
Let that be enough to help you walk into, you know, into that job and make that different choice starting, you know, starting right now. And the other thing I want to say is, you know, I'm a believer in, and in the meantime, I've heard Gary Douglas talk about this in his own way, but I really believe this all, and I have kind of my whole life about like creating for a future. And so even when I was stapling those papers, even when I was getting the coffee, which by the way, today would be like an HR violation to ask, you know, your young female assistant to get coffee for the men in the meeting, right? I mean, but 25 years ago, that was normal, right? But anyway, you know, even when I was doing those things, there was a part of me saying, I don't care that I'm getting paid $25,000 a year right now. I'm creating for my future. I'm earning money now for a few in a future. I'm just not seeing it right now. But I think that that can be very empowering to realize, what am I creating for my own future? Again, it's not just about the company you're working for, right? It's also,
right,
you're creating for yourself, for your own long-term future. The other thing I, you know, am a believer in is laying the train track before you want to run the train down it. And so if you're unhappy in your job right now and you have that job, first of all, again, I really want to emphasize, be really grateful that you have that job. And what choices can you be making today to start to lay the train track for whether it's a year in the future or 3 months in a future, or in my case, when I was creating my business, 7 years in a future. And it meant that I would come home from the job and I would be investing another 2 to 4 hours of my life in me. I went for a year without a television because I really wanted to make sure that I was investing whatever available energy I had in any given daylight hours into creating my future. And so, you know, just being willing to invest in yourself, not sitting back saying, well, nobody else is investing in me. Are you investing in you? And what would it take for you to be willing? And what would it look like for you to be willing, you know, to invest even more in you?
Such brilliant questions. And yes, what the gratitude. So, you know, one of the things that popped in, and I love popping into, you know, our listeners as well, and what maybe they might be thinking. And so one of the things that popped in, as you said, you know, even if you find one thing to be grateful for, even if it's your paycheck, and what I was hearing was, well, what if you don't even, what if you're not happy with your paycheck?
Yeah.
Now, what if you
want
it to be way more? So then, then what would you advise people?
So I would advise people a couple of things, and having been there myself, you know, for you know, many moments in my life, I would say a couple things. One is, are you willing, have you gotten clear on what the value of the work that you're delivering is to your, you know, to the company or the organization that you're working for? And are you willing, once you get clear on that, and that's probably in a whole nother conversation, but to step into your power and into your own voice and you know, and speak to that and speak for that and demand that. And I don't mean do that in an unprofessional barging in someone's office and demanding way. But what I and it may be multiple conversations, and it can take 6 months to 9 months to a year maybe even to get that calibrated. But are you willing to hold, to step into that space for yourself, hold that space for yourself and be a quiet persistence of demand for that in your life. And that does first require a predicate condition of getting very clear on, you know, the business case for the value of what you're delivering into the company. That's one thing I would say. And, you know, and if there's any lack of clarity around that, you know, do whatever it takes to get clear, and also be willing to ask yourself, what else can I do to add even more value? And it's not about you personally being of value. You are invaluable as a human being. It's really just the, you know, the brass tacks business case value to the company. And so what else, where are other places where you can generate and create and add value into this company that will strengthen and bolster, you know, the business case? And then certainly, if you really feel like all doors are closed in your, in the hallway of possibility with your current boss, I would say start getting in conversation with other people in the company, because there may be other possibilities inside of your organization, but, you know, outside of your immediate organ, you know, out inside the big company, but not necessarily inside your division, right? And so look there next. And certainly also, I'm a real believer, Betsy, in always being in conversation, always be interviewing, I like to say. And as a business owner myself now, I'm always interviewing, because I've got to have a pipeline of business or I could hit a financial cliff at any time. But when you're in a job, you can get complacent. But I think that's a mistake. I really believe it's important to almost always have like three offers in your pocket that you know you could call that person. They'll take your call and they could probably help find a position for you.
Wow.
But that requires going beyond what most people are willing to go beyond. They're like, well, I got a job. I'm good now. I'm just going to stay behind my computer and do my job, you know, until they don't. And it can be very terrifying to then step out into the world when you haven't interviewed for 7 years or 10 years or 15 years.
Gosh, there's so many beautiful golden nuggets in this conversation today. April, thank you so much. My gosh. And it really, like, what could you do for yourself, no matter what it is, where you are, and to have, there's a lot to be said for having some other offers and possibilities versus having the point of view that you don't have any other possibilities or options. So what could you start creating right here, right now, that could change whatever it is you are in your career?
And, you know, I don't know if we're coming right up on a break here, Betsy, so cut me off if we are, but I just want to say, you know, I also think, like, recognize that, you know, see everything in your universe as a, okay, we'll catch it after the break.
We are. Thank you guys so much. Remember what you were going to tell us. We're with April Armstrong today. We'll be back in just a couple minutes, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to Imperfect Brilliance.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo. Do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
are creating yumminess for sure here today, which is also the my website, creatingyumminess.com. And I am so loving this conversation with April Armstrong today. Thank you so much for coming back, taking time from your busy, busy day, and having some more conversation around you and your what you're creating in the world with your job. And no matter where you are, what questions could you ask today to make your life even more joyful and ease-filled and exciting, and maybe you enjoy challenges, like whatever it is that you enjoy, what else could you add to your life? And, you know, so April started talking a little bit about, like, if you're complacent with your job, what could you do? What could you ask for? You know, does your company offer additional education? Is there something that maybe you would like to learn that you could learn literally on the job? So many of my jobs, I taught myself. I didn't know anything, and I would go in and learn a program or how to do something just because I didn't want to be bored. And you know, so I enjoyed learning new things, and I still do. It's not something that I've ever stopped learning. And there's actually a program that I'm really would like to learn right now. And so what is it for you guys? Like, where would you like to challenge yourself? And in doing that, what would that actually open up? What doors would learning something new open up for you that maybe those doors are closed right now because you don't know a certain software or a certain skill, or you don't know how to do something? And obviously there's going to be people listening who do something besides computer work. So I'm just talking about computer work, but it could be anything. It could be somebody working with horses who would like to learn something different. And so whatever it is for you guys, like, who could you talk to? Like, if let's say there's nobody in your company, or you're in a very small company where there is nobody else that you could go talk to. Well, who else? Like, so if you're hitting brick walls and you don't see any doors or windows, April, what questions would you ask to find some doors or windows where maybe none existed before?
Well, the first thing I would recommend is, you know, if, like you said, if you feel like you're hitting that brick wall, you know, and first of all, make sure there's not a Scooby-Doo button or door on that wall, because there could be, and like, oh, that, look at that, the wall spins, you know. But if there's no Scooby-Doo button on the wall, then, you know, then I would say literally, like, start to turn your own body around, right? And look at the other 180 degrees of field, you know, of vision and field of possibilities, of all the other spaces you could start to walk down. And so one thing is, you know, if you're, well, first of all, I love everything you were just saying about what new skills could you learn, Betsy. And I would invite everyone to really start to notice and pay attention to what draws you, what interests you. That was one key thing that popped in when you were talking about that I realized I did probably, it was probably the number one thing that helped me custom create my career, you know, inside this company, was really truly noticing what other people were doing that I thought I might have an interest in. Or maybe I was just delivering the coffee into that meeting, but gosh, I saw that facilitator leading the meeting. And there was a part of me that thought, I would love to do that. I wonder what that would take to do that, you know? And and my initial ticket to the fair, I like to say, you got to have a ticket to the fair. I mean, you got to, you know, no one's just going to let you in because you're necessarily, because you're just asking to get in. You've got to deliver value into that space. So, for example, in that particular case, the first thing I knew I needed to do was, well, maybe I need to get in one of those meetings. So I offered to take notes. And then, you know, I made it, you know, I could see that they needed help planning the event, planning the meeting. And I said, gosh, I'd love to. I know I'm just a lowly administrative assistant, but I could help you plan that next big meeting. And so I got myself in as sort of the event planner for that big meeting, where I was getting more proximity to the facilitators. I was able to watch what they were doing, you know, and practicing and rehearsing and all of that. And then I started making, you know, started to communicate that I would like to become a facilitator like that.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, the facilitators took me under their wing and started mentoring me. And
wow.
Then they started letting me be like a junior facilitator with them. And uh-huh. Then suddenly one day they weren't available and I got thrown in as the facilitator for a major meeting. We're talking White House meeting. I mean, literally, that's how it happens. That's how it happens. And that's how it can happen for anyone. But you know what? It didn't start with me saying I want to one day facilitate a meeting with White House officials. It was, I'm willing to take notes, you know, in the back of the room if I need to for years, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, right.
You know, but being willing to speak up and to ask people about, hey, you have to be willing to communicate some of your capacities and your willingness and your interest to help with certain things. And if they're ever, you know, if you're ever looking for someone like that, in fact, I eventually said, the company had a group of 3 corporate facilitators that did all the executive facilitation in the company for 45,000 people. And I ultimately got on the phone and called one of them and said, you know what? If you're ever looking for another facilitator, and they didn't have any women, they were 3 men. I said, and especially if you're looking to diversify and you'd like a female facilitator, I would love to have a conversation. Betsy, within 1 month, I got a phone call. I was invited into an interview. I ended up being the 4th facilitator. And that's how it happened. But I had to be willing to make that phone call, put myself out there. And I had mm-hmm. gone first, so to speak, by doing the homework and the extra work in the years leading up to that, right? Like, and I'm not saying it has to take years, but, you know, I had been doing the due diligence to help to give myself that skill set. So just building on what you were saying about that. And if you can't find those opportunities or you don't believe they exist inside your company, then, you know, I like to say that's why God made volunteer work. Luckily for all of us that are looking for a place to showcase our capacities or to discover our capacities, there is a world that needs a lot of assistance right now. And there's all kinds of places where, you know, that are would love to have you come in. Yes, it might be a volunteer capacity, but it's a priceless opportunity maybe for you to both discover and showcase your capacities and to start to build that and strengthen that narrative, right? Now you know that you're somebody that can do X, Y, Z because you did it for this charitable organization. And now you're able to tell your employer about that. You're able to talk about that in your interview. So, you know, that's another possibility. And then, you know, it's one final thing I would say mm-hmm. is being willing to say yes to everything. There is a possibility in everything. And, you know, don't sort of self-select yourself out of something because you either feel like it's beneath you or you feel like it's even above you. Gosh, I'm not qualified for that yet. I like to say there's not a president yet that got elected for the first time that's been qualified to be president of the United States. So by no means should you let that stop you. If any part of you feels like you could do that or are interested to do it, I say go for it and trust that you're going to learn on the job. You're a brilliant, you know, being, and it wouldn't have felt light to you if you, you know, if you weren't interested in it and some part of you wasn't capable of it, you wouldn't have even been drawn to it. So don't let anything True. Be above you, you know, or beneath you. Say yes to everything, you know, and be willing to fail. I mean, I was famously fired once after 3 days on the job, Betsy, because turns out I'm really bad with details and Excel spreadsheets and numbers. And I really could have, and I'm not going to lie, it did sting, but I could have let that be, I could have like had that spin me into a career downward spiral. But fortunately, I was able to dust myself off and just say, okay, wow, okay, well, that's not a direction I want to go in my life. So I'm really clear on that now. Turns uh-huh. out I'm a lot better with, you know, verbal and written communication and words. And, you know, I'm not a numbers person. And anyway, so, you know, just view that as information, awareness, not like a big cataclysmic failure. It's another clue on the journey to you.
Yeah. Another clue on the journey to you. I love that. And we talked a little bit earlier about laying the track for what it is you desire. And then you gave us so many beautiful examples of laying these tracks out for yourself And certainly these tracks aren't going to be in a very, you know, straight line, you guys. They're going to be zigzaggy, and they're going to be they can be kind of all over the place. And what if all of that is okay? And thank you for also talking about being fired and the sting of that. And
yeah,
that you didn't allow that to stop you and stop laying your tracks in what it is that you knew was possible. And so you talked a little bit about it was 7 years from when you first decided to start your own company to actually leaving the corporate world, right, and making that leap to being your own boss. You're having your own company, which is can be quite a scary thing. So what was it that had you know that that was the time to take that leap?
Well, and first of all, I want to invite everyone on the call to really start to see themselves as their own boss, so to speak, starting right now. You know, really see yourself as the CEO of your own life right now. That was probably the first thing for me, was starting to really see myself like that 7 years before I was cutting myself off from a, quote, built-in paycheck. You know, but, you know, I think for me, honestly, Betsy, I would now use the language of checking in with my body. Back then, I didn't have that language, but I would just say that, gosh, I just mm-hmm. noticed I was on the edge of the pool, but I just felt afraid to jump into the pool. And I mm-hmm. often made myself wrong for that. Like, what's wrong with me that everybody else is fearless, but apparently I'm not, you know. But what I now realize, and when I'm gentler with myself, and I'm really now so, you know, wanting to encourage everyone to be so gentle with yourself, because I'm now able to see, wow, what awareness did I have then that I didn't know that I had? Well, part of the awareness that I had then, Betsy, was that it would be reckless to just cut myself off from this paycheck and start this company without first equipping myself, right? I mean, you don't become a deep sea diver without first getting the training and getting uh-huh. the equipment and learning how to use a dive tank, you know?
Right.
I mean, that would be foolhardy. And so what I realized for me in retrospect was I was gaining awareness. I was talking to people that had done this before. I was saving a percentage of my income with every paycheck to create a little bit of a financial cushion. I was taking night classes and weekend classes through my local county's small business office to equip myself with things that I didn't have in my educational background around just the brass tacks of running a business, like bookkeeping. You know, I was gaining that kind of awareness, and looking back on that, I'm realizing, wow, you weren't wrong for taking 7 years, April. You were brilliant for taking 7 years. I'm so glad you took that. And I'm not saying that that's what it will take for everyone. I'm just
right.
saying, you know, take whatever time it takes for you, but check in with your body and you'll know. For me, I finally reached a point, Betsy, where, and actually it was fairly instantaneous. It was like getting an envelope under the door from God. It was just like this one day, it just hit me. Literally the words, the words leave now. Those were the words that just popped into my awareness. I was in a hotel in Scottsdale, Arizona on a business trip, and the words leave now just like whispered, like feather touch whisper into me, leave now. And I knew it didn't mean leave the building. It meant leave this company now.
Mm.
And I wrote my resignation letter that weekend, and I wrote my boss over the weekend and said I'd like to meet with him Monday morning, and I resigned Monday morning. But it was 7 years in the making.
Right, right.
But there was a peace, there was a quiet, there was a calmness in my body.
Mm.
That's how I knew.
Well, thank you so much for bringing in that piece about, you know, not making yourself wrong for wherever you are on your journey. And, you know, our lives are our journey. And it's truly about what can you do to honor yourself. And as April said earlier,
yeah.
like being kind to you. And, you know, so in this conversation today, I would encourage you guys to listen to this again. There were so many beautiful points. And in that, like, what could you create for you, no matter what it is you're doing, where you are in your life, whether you have a job or not,
because you're in the job as Simone Millis is the founder of The Joy of Business, you're in the business of your life. And, you know, you wake up in the morning, you have a business. So what is it that you can create for you that maybe you've never even thought to ask or had the nerve to ask? And in the asking for it, that starts, as April so beautifully said, laying the tracks for what you would like to create. So in asking the questions and taking some actions, what track are you laying down for your life?
Yeah. And what if there was no, you know, what if there was no ladder, just a lattice of infinite possibilities, like a jungle gym of infinite possibilities?
Beautiful. April, thank you again so much for joining us today. I'm so grateful, truly, truly grateful.
Thank you so much, Betsy, for the gift you are in this world to all of us in your listening audience, myself included.
Thank you. Thank you, April, and you are such a gift as well, as everybody listening is. Also, honor the gift that you are in your life. Thank you guys so much. Have a fabulous, fabulous week, and we'll talk again soon.